Acts chapter 7. And our text for this morning is the verse 25. Verse 25 of Acts 7. And he, that is Moses, supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. Why did they not understand? Because it wasn't the time that the Lord had planned for Israel to be delivered. And Moses was running ahead of the will of God. That's our subject for this morning. From the day that he was born, it was evident that Moses was destined for great things. His life had been saved from the murderous tyranny of Pharaoh. For by faith, he was hid 3 months of his parents, Hebrews 11, verse 23, only to be brought up in the house of the daughter of Pharaoh. But then, we're told that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and so separated from the house of Pharaoh, Hebrews 11, verse 25, saying, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So turning his back on the palace, turning his back on his position, because many believed that Moses would have been next in line for the throne in Egypt. Turning his back on the palace, on his position, on his power, and on his possessions. All these he had in Egypt. He knew that Israel's God had a work for him to do. He was to become the emancipator of Israel. He was to lead Israel out of the house of bondage. He was the man chosen by God and protected by him to be the one who would lead Israel out of Egypt and lead them to the edge of the land flowing with milk and honey. But while Moses knew what the will of God was for his life, he was not prepared to wait until the God of Israel told him when he was to deliver Israel. And this chapter in the life of Moses shows us the mistakes that Moses made when he went ahead of the will of God. Isn't that what our text is all about? Verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Why? Because it wasn't the time. It wasn't the right time for Moses to lead Israel out. Mark the word, understood. He supposed his brethren would have understood problem was that Moses did not understand when God wanted him to lead Israel out. And that reminds us of the words of Paul to the believers at Ephesus, when Paul said, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." Now, Moses understood it was God's will for him to lead Israel out. But at this point in time, Moses did not understand when the Lord wanted him to lead Israel out. And Moses went ahead of the will of God. As we will see, the circumstances surrounding Moses going ahead of the will of God. He understood the will of God with regard to the work, but he didn't understand the will of God with regard to the when. He knew he was called to the work, but he didn't understand the when. And he made a mistake, which we shall see. So let us see what happened when Moses took things into his own hands. That's what he did. He took things into his own hands, not waiting upon a word from the Lord as to when he was to go and seek Pharaoh and tell him to let the children of Israel go. That didn't take place till a number of years later. Moses is way ahead of the will of God. So let us first of all then, regarding the portion we have read, these verses, let us consider Moses and his deeds. Moses and his deeds. Remember Moses having spent, we're told, a full 40 years in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He was understood to be an Egyptian. People looked upon Moses and regarded him as an Egyptian. We know that from Exodus 2 and verse 19. But while Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds, this man Moses had not forgotten his people. Brought up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter, lived as an Egyptian, was regarded as an Egyptian, had all the privileges of those who lived in the house of Pharaoh's daughter, yet he didn't forget his people. Who were his people? First of all, we see his brethren. For we read there in verse 23 of Acts 7, "And when he was full 40 years old," there you are, even 40 years in the house of Pharaoh's daughter, "when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren." Who were his brethren? The children of Israel. He still referred to them and looked upon them as his brethren. He who had enjoyed all the privileges of being brought up in a palace, he's not ashamed to call the Israelite slaves who were being persecuted at that time, he was not ashamed to call them his brethren. This reminds us of another deliverer of whom it is written when speaking about his people name of the Lord Jesus, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2 verse 11. And certainly Moses was not ashamed to call the children of Israel his brethren. And here in the verse 23 we read that Moses, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. This was the people that God would send Moses to deliver out of the house of bondage. This was the very people. And this shows us that Moses certainly had a heart for the people whom he called his brethren. And that's important. It is important for one who has been chosen and called to serve God, that person must have a heart for the people that he's ministering to. He must have a heart for those people. And so it is with anyone who's called into the ministry. And wherever God has called that person to minister the word to a congregation, the minister must have a heart for the people. He'll not have much of a ministry if he doesn't have a heart for the people. And here we see Moses had a heart for the people. It came into his heart to visit his brethren. Paul certainly was a man who had a heart for the people he ministered to. We read in Philippians 1, verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, talking about the believers at Philippi, to think this of you all, he goes on to say, I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I have you in my heart. Even though Paul was in bonds, in other words, he was in prison. And while he was in prison, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the believers in Philippi. And of them, he said, I have you in my heart. That's good. And here is Moses. Moses had his brethren very much in his heart, very much upon his heart, which was good. But the time for Israel's deliverance had not yet come. Even though Moses supposed and thought it had, when he went that day and visited his brethren, he had already turned his back on Pharaoh. He had already separated from Pharaoh's house. He had given up all the riches of Egypt. And he thought, now the time has come for me to lead Israel out. Moses knew that God wanted him to do that, but he got the time all wrong. Certainly, it's commendable that he had his people on his heart. As well as the brethren, we notice also the burdens. We read in Exodus 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, or the word grown there means when Moses was great. And he was great in Egypt, there's no doubt about that. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went on to his brethren, listen, and looked upon their burdens. So here we have Moses, and he has his brethren upon his heart, And he goes and visits them one day after turning his back on Pharaoh and all that went along with that. And he looked upon his brethren and he looked upon their burdens. And upon seeing his brethren and the burdens they labored under, Moses felt something needed to be done. He had seen his brethren. He had those men, those brethren of his, upon his heart. And he looked upon them and he saw the burdens that they were laboring under the hard taskmasters. And Moses felt something needs to be done. Surely now's the time to deliver Israel. He saw their burdens. And what did he do then? He took things into his own hands. He didn't wait upon the Lord. For we read there in verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. Took things into his own hands. And then we're told in verse 25 why he did that. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. No. They understood not. Because it wasn't the right time for Moses to deliver Israel. Notice the wording there in verse 25. He understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. So we see Moses knew the will of God. Moses knew that God would use him to deliver Israel. But Moses didn't wait for the hand of God to work in and through him. He took things into his own hands, not waiting upon the hand of God to do the work through him. Moses was going to do a work without God, because he was going ahead of God's will. Yes, many mistakes have been made when men take things into their own hands instead of waiting upon God, instead of waiting and getting the mind of God. Mistakes have been made. Oh yes, I've looked upon a certain situation or a given situation and felt something needs to be done here. They run ahead of God's will. Moses had to wait actually another 40 years. That's how far ahead Moses was of the will of God. He was a full 40 years ahead of God's will before deliverance was brought to his brethren. You look there at the verse 30 of Acts 7. And when 40 years were expired, that is after what had happened here, another 40 years. There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord and a flame of fire in a bush. That's when Moses was called. That's when Moses was told to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He was 40 years too early. He had gone 40 years too soon. Moses was just too hasty. He ran ahead of God's will, acting on impulse when he saw what was taking place to his brethren, he acted an impulse and he smote the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Moses shouldn't have done that. He didn't wait upon the Lord. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes the words of Solomon. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And there in verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Now that's almost a summary there of what happened. Oppression maketh a wise man mad. Moses saw how his brethren were being oppressed. And he responded. We're told, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Moses saw the oppression of his brethren. He did behave in a hasty way. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. But that's exactly what happened. Moses was hasty, not waiting on the will of God as to when he was to deliver Israel. Remember the words of the psalmist. Psalm 37, verse 7, David said, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. That's what Moses should have done. Should have rested in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rather, wait on the Lord. And he will bring it to pass. Unfortunately, Moses didn't wait. He went ahead of the will of God. We've seen the brethren and the burdens. That leads us now to the burial. That is the mistake that Moses made because he ran ahead of the will of God. Yes, the Lord would overthrow the Egyptians, but not in this manner. For what did he do? What did Moses do? Verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And we're told in Exodus 2, verse 12, when he smote him, he looked this way and that. Then slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He didn't wait upon the Lord. Because he acted with haste, he made a grave mistake. You see, he went out that day, looked upon his brethren. They were upon his heart. He saw their burdens. Something needed to be done. Moses took things into his own hands, slew the Egyptian, and then the next verse tells us that he supposed that his brethren would understand that he had been the man who was sent to deliver them, but they understood not. Why? Because he'd gone away ahead of God's will. Had Moses truly believed that he was doing right, when he slew the Egyptian, why then, according to Exodus 2, verse 12, Did he look this way and that way? He looked this way and that way, hoping nobody would see him. Then he slew the Egyptian, and then he buried him. There's always one of two reasons why a man will look this way and that way before he does something. If what he's about to do is wrong, he'll look this way and that. Or on the other hand, if he's going to do something and he wants everybody to see it, that they might praise him, he'll look this way and that to see who's looking at him, that he may gain the praise of men. But that was not the case with Moses. For Moses looked this way and that way, hoping nobody would see him, and that's when he slew the Egyptian. Because Moses knew it wasn't right. And he had hoped that his brethren would understand that he indeed was the man who would deliver Israel. That part was true. But it wasn't the time. It wasn't God's time. You think of something. It wasn't God's time for Moses to deliver Israel. And you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how often during his earthly ministry did the Lord make reference to the fact, my time is not yet come. Or mine hour is not yet come. You see, the Lord Jesus knew there was a set time that had been previously purposed and planned. And the Lord Jesus was working to that time, to deliver his people when he would go to the cross and there be the sacrifice for sin, and there on the cross he would deliver his people. And then in Matthew 28 and verse 18, then he said, my time has now come. See? The Lord Jesus was working to that time. The Lord Jesus was not going to run ahead of the time that had been set. Unfortunately, Moses did run ahead of the time. He knew he was the man to deliver Israel. But one thing he didn't know, he didn't know when. That's when he took matters into his own hands. So we have noted then Moses and his deeds. Next we consider Moses and the discovery. The discovery. Even though Moses had slain the Egyptian taskmaster and buried him or hid him in the sand, it did not seem to trouble Moses too much. Because evidently Moses felt he was still doing the will of God. I say it didn't trouble him too much, because what do we have in verse 26? And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. In other words, there you have his return. He returned. He went back to the same place he had been the day before when he slew the Egyptian. And so we gather from that it didn't trouble Moses too much if he went back again, as it were, to the scene of the crime. He went back again because he believed that he was doing the will of God. He, after all, was the man whom God would use to deliver Israel. And so when he slew the Egyptian, he felt he was doing the will of God. He was beginning to deliver Israel. Of course, he'd got it all wrong as far as the time was concerned. So here's Moses. He had no hesitation in going back to where he had slain the Egyptian the day before. And how easy it is to do wrong and yet believe you're still in the will of God. What Moses did was wrong, and he slew the Egyptian. But Moses evidently still believed he was doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus spoke about those individuals who would kill people and believe they were doing the will of God. John chapter 16 and verse 2. The Lord addressing his disciples, he said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the man cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." The day will come when they kill you and they'll think they're doing God's service. That, of course, was the description of the religionists of the Lord's day. And Saul of Tarsus would have been such a religious zealot. Didn't he persecute the church? Didn't he arrest believers and put them in prison? And he believed he was doing the will of God. That's when he was Saul of Tarsus. That was whenever he was a religious zealot. Of course, on the road to Damascus, he got his eyes opened. But of course, it's so easy, even for professing believers, to behave as Moses did. He slew the Egyptian, believed he was doing the will of God. Of course he wasn't. How important it is to know, as Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, to know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word perfect would mean complete. It is good to know what is that good, acceptable, and complete will of God. Fortunately, that was not the case with Moses. The complete will of God, that involves the task, yes. It also involves the time, when to go. You have his return, and then you have the reproof. Upon his return visit to his brethren, Moses saw two of his own brethren, two of the Israelites, striving with each other, and he issued a reproof. Verse 26, "And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another?" Here was Moses believing he was Israel's deliverer, and he has come upon two of his own brethren, and they're striving with each other, and he reproves them. Now let's say this. What Moses did that second day was right. He was right in reproving two brethren and how they were striving one with the other. And he was also respectful. Because how did he address them? He said, "Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?" While Moses was correct in what he did on that second day and how he had treated those two brethren of his with respect, yet it all turned out wrong. It all turned out wrong because, verse 27, "But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away," pushed Moses away, "saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Oh dear. He had been found out. And here was Moses trying to separate two of his own brethren. And it all went against him. When anyone is out of step with God's will, his will and his mind and his purpose, whatever he does will often turn out wrong. Because he's out of step with the Lord. Had he not slain the Egyptian the day before, his reproving of the two brethren in all probability would have been accepted. But they referred, the man who was doing the wrong referred to the day before. "You're going to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian?" Had Moses not killed the Egyptian, well, obviously that would not have been brought up. But while Moses believed he was in the center of God's will, what he was doing and even the things that he was doing right were turning out wrong. His brethren did not accept him as their deliverer. And so they turned against him because he went ahead of God's will. You have the return, he returned to his brethren. We have the reproof, he reproved those one of those brethren. And then you have the rebuke. Moses was rebuked. Verse 27 and 28, "But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses fled. He's not the deliverer of Israel now, is he? He ran away. He was rebuked. Moses thought no one had seen what had taken place the day before. But he was found out. No doubt Moses was shocked. Moses, I believe, would have been shocked on two accounts. He was shocked, first of all, that his brethren had not accepted him as their deliverer. Instead of embracing Moses as their deliverer, they rebuked him. They sent him away from them. He would have been shocked, thinking his brethren understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not, and they thrust him away from them. After he had sacrificed so much, after he had sacrificed the palace and his position, he could have been the next king in Egypt, and sacrificed all the pleasures and all the possessions. He'd given it all up. Regarding it greater riches than to be with the people of God and to suffer affliction for Christ. He had given it all up. And here, all that he had given up, as far as these brethren were concerned, was counted as nothing. That would have shocked him. It says he supposed they would have accepted him. He would have been shocked in another area. Shocked at not being accepted. And shocked because of his actions. What he had done the day before had been discovered. Even though he looked way, this way and that way, he was still found out. And he took to his heels and ran. What does that remind us of? Does it not remind us of those words in Numbers 32, verse 23? Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Moses may have looked this way and that way, but there was one direction he didn't look. He didn't look up. He looked this way and that way, but he didn't look up. He should have looked up. He knew what God had planned for him, but he didn't know the time. And he'd run ahead of God's time. And he made this mistake, and his sin had found him out. We've considered Moses and his deeds, as well as Moses and the discovery. That leads us finally and briefly to Moses and his departure. His departure, we read in the verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying. There's his departure. Exodus 2 and verse 15, we read, now when Moses, but Moses fled from his. He sat down by a well. There's his departure. He went to the land of Midian. And we notice in going to the land of Midian, first of all, he had to wait. He had to wait. What does it say there in Acts 7 and verse 30? And when 40 years were expired, he'd been in Midian another 40 years. He'd been in 40 years in Egypt, now another 40. He'd been in Midian. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. And Moses saw it, and he wondered at the sight as he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him. There it is. Moses had to wait 40 years. He had to wait 40 years in the land of Midian before the Lord spoke to him and told him, Moses, now's the time to go. Now's the time. Moses, you had been 40 years too early. You'd gone ahead of my will 40 years too soon. For the will of Moses and the will of God were 40 years apart. Even though Moses could see the brethren and their burdens and what their need was and what needed to be done, it wasn't the Lord's time. So he had to wait. And then something else important. We read there in that verse 31, and the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, regarding his departure, he had to wait in the land of Midian. So there was the waiting. And then there was the word. There was the word. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying. The voice of the Lord hadn't come unto Moses 40 years before, when he went out and slew the Egyptian. Remember what we said? He had taken things into his own hands. He hadn't waited. He hadn't got a word from the Lord. Now, 40 years later, he has both waited and he has got the word. And we know how the Lord spoke to him out of the burning bush, which will be our study, Lord willing, next week. That's when the word came. There are many important lessons there. How we always need to wait. And if we have an important decision to make, we need to get a word from the Lord. Many individuals, many people down through the years have made mistakes because they've run ahead of God's will and they haven't waited for a word from the Lord. What have they done? They've taken things into their own hands. And that's what Moses did. And he had to wait. And then he got the word. And it was then, 40 years later, that God said to Moses, now's the time to go. Now go. Speak unto Pharaoh. And tell him to let my people go. Let us take the word to heart. Sometime in the future, when an important decision has to be made in your life, wait patiently for him and get a word from the Lord. The Savior had to wait for the right time when he would deliver his people. Moses had to wait for God's time when he would deliver his people out of Egypt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we look upon a man like Moses, and even the greatest of men can make mistakes. O Lord, guard our steps, that we'll not rush ahead of thy will, but rather we will wait on the Lord. Wait patiently for him, that he might bring it to pass. And O Lord, may we wait until we get a word. A word from God, when God says, right, my servant, now's the time to go. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. May we learn from it. May we take to heart the important lessons that are here. Lord, we pray thou would abide with us around thy table as we remember thy death. And for any, Lord, who must leave, we ask thee thy blessing, thy presence will go with them. Be pleased, O Lord, to return us to thy house this evening to learn more from thy word. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.